Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome into Wildcast Studios for the QMJHL playoff preview episode of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats, presented by Alpha's Appliance Solutions. They've got the Whirlpool Saver, the savings event. Save $150 when you purchase any two qualifying major kitchen appliances. That ends tonight, so make sure you get on top of that if you need some major kitchen appliances. As always, finishers, I am your host, Adam Lund, and I'm joined by your favorite co-hoster and Big Brother aficionado here for your weekly Big Brother update. Is Bailey still alive in the house?
Bailey's still alive. Let's see how fast I can get this done. Okay, so last week, Victoria was the head of household, and she nominated Vivek, my pick, and Goose. I don't know what Goose's first name is. Let's just call him Goose. So
you don't have to go this fast. People are like, I thought I was listening on 1X, not 1.5. Yeah. Why are they talking so fast?
So Victoria decides to pull Vivek into the HOH room to see if he will admit to being in any alliances. So she presses him, and he says nothing. And so she says, okay, last chance, or you're going on the block. And he says, right. So on day two or day one or whatever it was, myself, Donna, Bailey, Todd decided to come up with an East Coast alliance. So Victoria then used that against him and went into the HOH room with and called Bailey up there and Donna in there and Todd in there and exposed what Vivek said. Bailey blows up on Vivek and pretty damn well blows up her own game because you're not supposed to go off on somebody like that in the Big Brother house because then it shows your emotions. So at the end of the day, Victoria still goes ahead and nominates Vivek and Goose for eviction. After that's all said and done, she happens to be watching the cameras in the HOH room, which is another benefit of being HOH this year, is that you can kind of creep on the house guests.
Oh, that's
There's
nice.
There's no microphones, but you can see what they're doing. She just happens to flick to one of the screens, and Donna, Todd, and Bailey are talking in a room together. Victoria finds that suspicious because they are not supposed to be in an alliance, in an East Coast alliance.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, maybe Bailey wasn't being truthful to me. Maybe they are in an alliance. So she goes and gets pulls aside Vivek and tells Vivek, Vivek, you are no longer my target, which is quite a surprise. I thought he was going home for sure. So Dennis wins the power veto. Dennis used the power veto on Vivek. Pulls Vivek off the block. Victoria backdoors and blindsides Donna, which is funny because there was supposed to be an all-girls alliance. And with that being said, the all-girls alliance is kaboom. and Donna goes home. Vivek wins this week's head of household, so he goes from bottom to the top. And because Bailey tried to blow up Vivek's game and get him out the door, Vivek has nominated Bailey with Goose again as the pawn. There's your Big Brother Canada update.
Brought to you by Jeremy Boucher. That's a lot going on. That's in week two. Like, usually that...
It's a very action-packed, drama-filled first 3 weeks. Let's put it that way.
Nice, nice. Other than that, how was your... make sure to keep that logo inside, eh? How was your... How was your week other than that? Did you get caught up on all the March Madness?
I've been watching some games. Yeah, I've been watching some games. I know, obviously, Ducks are out. Oregon Ducks are out. But, Gonzaga's still in.
Oh, yeah, Oregon Ducks
Purdue is still in. My Charleston was not as good as I thought they would be. But
not bad, though. 109-96.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Way better than Longwood.
Well.
Longwood scored the second least amount of points in the... in the tournament, so I was really, it didn't cost me anything.
Mm-hmm.
Our good friend Denny Dorian had some free rolls, as he said,
he
was all in on that one. I kind of knew they weren't going to be in it, but I was like, well, who knows? Maybe.
You never know.
You never know, and that's why I don't do a lot of gambling.
Right. That's true.
Because
I don't either.
Especially on March Madness, anything can happen. Like 13 Yale's moving on, NC State, 11 seeds in the Sweet 16. All four of our picks are still in it.
That's right.
UConn in the Sweet 16 against San Diego State.
Mm.
Arizona taking on
Clemson. San Diego's not a state.
Arizona taking on Clemson. Oh, yeah. These matches will not have gone on by the time you hear this. So Clemson taking on Arizona. Your boys, Gonzaga versus Purdue. So you got a bit of a, no matter who wins, you win.
I'm going to the going to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, and Marquette takes on aforementioned NC State at 11. It is kind of nice. One of the there's not a lot of sports I like watching out here because of the time change when they start at like 11 o'clock. But this hasn't been too bad. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the games usually start. They go till 11 o'clock at night, especially the games in the Western seed as well. Fans in Cape Breton finally got to see a trophy raised as the Holman Empire, Team Holman.
I enjoyed that.
Finished a finished off the four-peat by Switzerland, defeating her yesterday. Just she was unbelievable all year. I think she was 24-1 combined in the Scotties and the world. So good event though. It looked like it was quite full for most of it. So it was good to see.
Yeah, and speaking of records, Team Canada, the women's, and the Eagles went a combined 21-1 in the last 22 games combined at Cedarhood. If you include Team Canada and the Eagles, that stat, of course, brought to you by David McKnight, who literally can pull anything out of his ass.
Yeah, he's pretty good with the he's pretty good with the stats. Oh man, yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, other than that, there was nothing major. But I do have to ask, sir, as we went on a little road ski.
We did.
Road trip, a little bus ski.
We did.
Bus trip.
Yeah.
Up to Bathurst. Great event from Nicole, Tanya, Bruce, putting that together in kind of a short amount of time for all of us. What's the tuna story? Because when we kind of thanked everyone for selling the bus out and then, you know, listening to our show, and I'll get that to that in a minute because that's the second part. But Tanya's like, what's the tuna story? Oh, I got a DM for her. What's the tuna story?
Yes.
So you need to elaborate on that because you asked that in the podcast post game with
Plandowski. I did. So, yes, on the way back, there was a lot more talking going on. You could hear a lot more conversations going on just because I think everybody's tired. So on the way back, we learned that Alice Selinsky is apparently a very, very good cook.
Yep.
We learned that Caleb Denoyer makes excellent homemade crepes. We also learned that Connor Trenum and Oscar Plandowski's Billets make some can't-miss banana bread muffins.
Yep, 100%.
So the Toonie Sandwich story is, I'm not sure who was talking, if they were speaking with Oscar or if they were texting him, but his Billets made a batch of muffins for them for the bus, team bus up to Bathurst on Friday. 40, I think I heard. And they were all eaten by the time the game ended. So apparently they are very good if 40 muffins were eaten between, you know, the team and the coaching staff.
That's two muffins a player.
So there was another story of, oh, if there's no more muffins, make yourself a tuna sandwich or something like that. So I don't know. Apparently, his Billets are very good cooks.
Yeah.
And they make everything from banana bread muffins to tuna sandwiches to this and that. So that's the tuna sandwich story. Okay. It was a bit of an awkward question. He definitely caught him off guard.
Yeah.
The muffin story, he seemed to know where it was going.
Yeah.
But that's the tuna story.
Okay. Yeah. That's that. Yeah. It definitely caught him off guard. I had one more question. I'm like, nope, I'm going to end on that one because you don't really recover from that. As well, it was awesome to be on the bus with everyone and all of you that listened to the show, watched the show. I said to Layla on the way back, I know there's impressions. Like, I know that YouTube has how many views and Spotify and all that, but it's still, I can see that people listening, but when they come back to tell us that they're listening or they enjoy the show or, I'm sorry, I forget your name, but right after the game, you're like, oh, I was listening and, you know, you don't have the history. Well, here's my picture with my son and Corey Crawford 20 years ago or whatever, and here he is now. And it's a little lot humbling, but it's also very weird, but in a good way, that people listen to our show.
No, it is. And I think we've joked a few times, Adam, about, you know, it's come to the point now where, you know, there should be a player's autograph table.
Yeah.
And then a podcast autograph table.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody wants our autographs, you know, we're happy to sign. I'm not going to sign a Wildcats jersey. No. I think that would be
no.
But if you want me to sign your, you know, your pay stub or something that I have your personal information on, I will gladly do that.
Oh, you know, it'd be funny is if we got someone to take those awkward Walmart photos of us.
Oh, yeah.
And just print those out and sign those bad boys.
Will you sign my SIN card? Absolutely.
Yeah. So But yeah, it was an awesome event. Hopefully we can get more next year. And I know they were talking about once the schedule comes out, they'll put some overnight trips together depending on who we play in Quebec and when we play. But very good event from Tanya, Bruce, and Nicole putting that together. And of course, meeting all of our fans. Just wish the outcome would have been a little bit better. As always, don't forget you can follow us on the social medias, Twitter, Monk to Wildcast, Instagram, Wildcast Podcast, TikTok, Wildcats Podcast. And of course, don't forget to like, smash that subscribe button on YouTube, and don't forget to hit the little bell. You'll be notified when we do the podcast post game, as well as maybe some YouTube watch parties in the playoffs. All right, so we got a quick question. It comes in from Instagram from ShadowWolf8871. His name's Brandon. He's usually always on our lives, and he's very interactive, whether it's YouTube or that. So here is his question.
Hey, Adam and Jeremy, it's Brandon, also known as Shadow Wolf on Instagram. My question is, with Mueller most likely leaving next season and big shoes to fill, where does the team go and get this kind of talent? Is there any players you guys have in mind you would like to see the team get?
I think we've kind of addressed this on a couple of occasions.
Yep.
There's obviously some rumblings out there of an acquisition that would be coming along to, I guess, make up for Mueller going away next year. That's obviously to be confirmed at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there's every year we turn around, there's always an offensive leader or two that moves on. You know, it's when the Kalmakov was gone and LaBelle was gone, and you know, we had to find a way to make up for those guys. So it's all about players, and whether it's bringing someone in or a player, stepping up, having a year that we didn't expect, which was Mueller this year.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect him to have a 30 goals for sure, right?
He had 32
goals. I didn't expect that from him. So it's, if you can find somebody internally to step up, you know, with Dinoway, I think he had 18 or 19 goals this year.
20. He hit 20.
He got 20, did he?
He got 20, yeah.
So if he can, double it, but if he can get close to 40 next year, that would be unbelievable. And I know it's going to be tough, but I think he can get there. And you've got to get, I think Carrier is a 20-goal scorer next year. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to take a massive leap forward, as long as he's not buried on that fourth line again. And I think at the draft we'll have a better idea of what's going to be coming in to replace the loss of Mueller, and we'll also have some guys internally that will be that'll step up.
Yeah, I think locker room wise around the guys, I think that's already in house. I think that's Denway. Mm-hmm. I think that's the logical next player to kind of rally the group around. In terms of that, I think had Kalard not had the season he had this year, I think he would have been the guy that would have taken that next step. And I think if him and Lounsbury kind of stay where they are, but also elevate a little bit, I think, we should be fine again. We're going to have players coming in and around the draft, in and around free agency. Like, you don't know what you're going to get in terms of that. But I think off ice, I think they've got that in-house with Denoyer. And I think... Mm-hmm. The guy that has been rumored, and of course we heard some different names on the bus trip. But if it's the guy we've heard rumored, obviously he's gonna put the puck in the net. So I see that, and offensively, a guy like Mercier, he'll be more comfortable in that top six role, and I think he can kind of take that second page of the stats, get up to he had 16 this year. If he doubles that, gets up to 30, well, that's Mueller's production right there. And, you've answered Mueller's production per se with Mercier and then in the locker room with Denway. And I think that's how you kind of fill this role. You can't just bring one guy in expecting to be Miles Mueller. I think you have to bring in, by committee. And they had that scoring this year. Loesching 37, Mueller 32. Those two were driving the offense. But like I said, Kalard and Denway were the only other two with 20, but Lounsbury had 19. I guess Sump had 21, sorry. Moran with 12, Mercier 16, Ogier, the quietest 18-goal, 40-point plus 26 season ever. That's like we had scoring by committee through the three lines. Mm-hmm. So I think that's how you kind of address that situation going forward.
Agreed.
Thank you for the question there, Brandon. We truly appreciate that. I don't know if we're going to go quick questions in the playoffs just because the episode's now come out a little different time-wise so that we can stay current with some of that moving forward. But let's get in some news and notes from around the queue.
News and notes from around the queue.
All right, so the league, even though they were taking out fighting and everybody said they weren't going to show up, the league got over 2 million fans league-wide for the first time since 2018-2019. With having the lowest fighting numbers, 35 fights this season, which was five more than last season in banning the fights, five more than last season. In 2004, there were 702 fights in the Q season.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. Like, that's...
That's a change.
Yeah. And I think Stefan LaRue had that tweet of how many fights. I don't know if he had the 2018-2019 year in his stats there that he had. I should have bookmarked it, but there it is. Show more. In 2004-05, 702, 2010-11, 474, 2014-15 season, 399. Last year, or 21-22 was 80. 2022, 2023 was 85. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30. It's been going down, right? So
95% of the games this year didn't have a fight. And I can only remember two of ours, and that's for both Gabe's.
Mm-hmm.
One in Gatineau and one at home.
Yep, I agree. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, it's the message got across.
Yeah.
Right. These players could have fought. There's tons of opportunities for gloves to be dropped, and they're like, oh crap, the rules.
Yeah.
The rules.
The rules, and the linesman did a decent job getting in there to stop most of them. So. And honestly, too, they called more. And the penalties were stronger for hits to the head, blindside hits, kneeing, stuff like that. Like, it was, that's what I was looking for. So, the league did a good job there. Anton Burrow of the Huskies won the John Beliveau Trophy, this year for 107 points on the season. Probably MVP of the year,
nice.
Which you had his name in your mouth, but you also went Roel Bouillard. So close. Had the line mates. First Victoriaville, now Drummondville. Some devastating news on the back end. Maverick Lemieux will have surgery and is out for the playoffs. Got a feel for the kid. He played 35 games last year. He got into 9 playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
36 this year, I think. They're built like they're the team that I've got going to the finals. The problem with last year is they weren't built for depth. This year they're built more for depth. But it's not going to hurt him in the first round. But I think it'll hurt him when you get into that third and finals if they get there.
Oh, for sure. Like, he's a big part of their team, but I think they also have the bodies on the back end to kind of make up for it. It's a huge loss. It's hard to make up, but there's a reason why they focus more on their defensive side of things at the trade period, and it's almost as if they saw this coming.
Defensive wise, they got Komarov. Well, they got the defense, like the Vegas Golden Knights are all 6'8" or something like that. Komarov, Diot, Beaudry, Simon, Brunet, Rotundi, and Gaudreau is a rookie. But they've got some bodies in the back end. They've got some depth. Those are the ones that played the most. Vincent Desharnais is probably going to punch in there. He only played 4 games, but the playoffs is where you can hide a defenseman, and if you're smart and in that first series, you're not really going to have to worry about it. You can kind of roll 5 defensemen and just kind of keep the guys fresh. It's when they get into that third and fourth against Ruren and stuff like that they're going to get into some issues.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we got for... Oh, Players of the Week. Another week. Another Moncton Wildcats opponent gets on there.
Alex Lallier,
yep. All right, where is it? There we go. Alexander Blais from Rimouski. 2 games played, 2 goals, 4 assists. Brody Fournier of the Sea Dogs, 3 games, 4 goals, 2 assists. Alexander Lallier, that one line, should have been Roland's too. 3 goals, 3 games, 2 goals, 4 assists. Komarov, as I spoke about, a goal and 4 assists in 2 games. Julian Lante of Shawinigan, no goals, 4 assists. And Carter Bickle of the Islanders, 1-1-1 for .945 save percentage and a 1.89. goals against average. The player of the week was Brody Fournier of the St. John Sea Dogs. Like I said, 4 goals, 2 assists in those 3 games. You really could have put Rollins in there the way he was playing with playing against Moncton. I think he's had something like 17 points in 9 games, and technically 17 points in 7 games, because 2 of those 9 Somehow Moncton held him off the score sheet.
Wow. Yeah, that's, you don't see that very often. Yeah, we'll get into those playoff predictions and where I think if that one line in Bathurst can do some damage.
Yep, and so now you're going to get a bit of a different segment. We don't actually know who the award winners are when this drops, but the awards were Monday. Congratulations to all the winners, but I was able to go there after we were done recording and have a chat with the MVP, Rookie of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, and the Rebecca Schofield winner. So again, congratulations to those winners. We don't know who they are right at this point. But
fans' choice as well.
Yeah, fans' choice. That's what it was, not offensive, fans' choice. Let's see how your prediction skills are. MVP is?
As good of a season as Loesching had, I mean, my MVP is Mueller. You know, I think he was consistently one of the best players all season.
Yeah.
And there was no part of the year where he seemed to... It just seems like he was always on the scoreboard. Even though there were clearly some games where he was shut out.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just down the stretch. He was one of the more reliable players that we could count on. So I would take him as MVP. I mean, it's probably going to be Loesching based on if it's statistical. But I would, if I had a vote, I'd be voting for Mueller.
Yeah, I think Mueller needs to win MVP. Loesching can win Offensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
But off and on the ice, I think Mueller is the MVP. And even the games he wasn't on the score sheet when the MCL line was the hottest line in hockey,
mm-hmm.
He might not have been on the score sheet, but he was driving to help that line in letting Collard and Lounsbury have statistical great years. Rookie of the Year is Denoyer. That seems pretty...
Not Ryan Hackett?
He didn't score a goal, though.
Oh, Cooper Cormier.
Jack Hayne.
Ah.
What was the other one? Fans' Choice. The only person that it could defeat Mueller in this, I think, is Denoyer.
Yeah. I voted for Cooper Cormier.
I voted for Miles Mueller.
Okay, well, so I voted for Cooper Cormier like 5 times, so.
Really?
You know, we just get 5 votes.
Nice. And then the Rebecca Schofield one, obviously, that's always a tough one because, you know, we don't know how much they're in the community.
Yeah.
But it is a community award, and I feel like it's Trenholm.
Mm-hmm.
The St. John connection there and everything with that family and what he's done here as an ambassador for the Wildcats, I would guess Trenholm.
Yeah, well, for me, it's, you know, if you look at the posts the Wildcats have made on, you know, social media about players going to schools and, you know, going to events here and there and all these businesses in the community, the one player to me that seems to be at all these events is either Riley Sampson or Keegan Warren.
Yeah.
So I don't know where this award will go, but these two guys just seem to be everywhere, you know, when the Wildcats are around town in the community. So that's kind of where I'd be leaning.
Whoever it is, it's an amazing award to win, and congratulations to that player, not only for being in the community, but for being an ambassador of the Wildcats. All right, let's get into the weekly rewind and the playoff preview that you guys are waiting for.
Weekly rewind.
So the Wildcats finished the season 2-1 on the week, finishing a record of 38-23-4-3 for 83 points, which is second in the Maritimes and third in the conference, which we now know sets up a playoff series against Chicoutimi. We're going to go quickly through the games of the past week because they're over. We want to get to the playoff preview. But
Patrick Lever Show.
Yep, Patrick Lever Show.
Moving on to Friday.
Milo Rollins Show in Bathurst. And
well, the 3-0, blowing the 3-0 lead, being outscored 7-1 in the final, you know, 47
minutes or so.
No, because they scored their first three goals in 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So they were outscored 7-1, and Bathurst didn't get their first goal till the final minute of the first period. So they were outscored 7-1 in the final 41 minutes. That can't happen.
No.
That can't happen, and that's what happens when you think a 3-0 lead is safe, and it's the worst lead in hockey. Everybody knows that.
And when your power play, you get a chance with a 5-minute power play and a 2-minute 5-on-3, and you only get one goal. And
that's
what's going to, which we'll get into, that needs to be better in the playoffs. Mm. And then Saturday at home.
Another almost blown game.
Thank God they scored first.
Yeah.
Like, I think if Bathurst scores first, I think mentally creeps in, like, uh-oh. Because at that point, I mean, they were fighting with Cape Breton, and Cape Breton was leading, and then they were tied, and then they were, and then they got up 2-1, and they kind of took it over, and they ended up winning in overtime. But at that point, you know, I don't know who's looking at the scoreboard or if anyone is during the game, but I know fans probably were, and they're
It was refreshing.
Yeah. So it's like you can't. Luckily, they scored first. They outscored.
They just kept punching. You know, that's it. You know, it was 6-3 at one point, and I was like, oh, this game is over.
Yeah.
And nope.
Yeah, no, it was 6-4, and I was like, well, we should go downstairs to get ready for the interviews, blah, 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 because these kids, you know, want to get out of here. And all of a sudden, it was
6-4, 6-5,
and then Jack Hayne got his first two goals in a queue, and, you know, he was leading scorer in Nova Scotia U18 hockey, and you can see why. He's got the pass from Mercier was on a platter. He kind of got the rebound on his second goal, but it wasn't long, and it was just a quick snap, and it was, like, you can see his shot. Like, you can see why he was the number one
scorer. Quick release, it's, like I told you, you know, when it gets white, I texted you, I said, when it's white knuckle time, you can always count on the Hayne train.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is when I sent that, it was after his first goal. I didn't think we needed another one from him to seal the deal, but good thing he got two.
Yeah, did we ever need to count on him there? So that's how they kind of finished it. They clinched the third spot, and like Oscar Blandowski said, wasn't pretty, but they got it in that final game, which led us to a 3-6 matchup against Chicoutimi. Fun fact, if we went old school league standings, we would take on the Armada.
Nice.
I would feel a little bit better about the Armada.
Another matchup against Chiarlo.
Yep. All right, so we'll go through the Western Conference and we'll go through the Eastern Conference. These will be kind of, there's some matchups that we don't need to spend a lot of time on, but we'll save ours for the very end, so we're not. So that's why it'll be out of order. St. John Sea Dogs qualified to cross over and get a trip with Drummondville, and can this be done in three games?
Three? Give me 2.5.
Yeah.
It's respectfully, St. John, congratulations on making the playoffs. I know Breyer are going to get a nice little paycheck for another 2 weeks, but Yeah, well, I think...
Levers show that he can steal a game.
But I don't think he can steal these ones.
Yeah, there's no. There's one thing in stealing games against divisional opponents, but when you're taking on Drummondville, who's got aspirations of playing into May, they're going to come at you at waves. And
this is
their best opportunity is game one, but he's got to have a 57-1 goal performance, and they win 2-1. I don't see it. I think it's in four.
Yep, I agree. Drummondville, Voltigeur is in four.
All right.
Let's make it even.
Both in four.
Yeah.
All right, so the Huskies and the Olympiques. Gatineau's come out with their...
They seem pretty confident.
They seem like everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. No one's expecting anything out of Gatineau. They weren't even supposed to make the playoffs. In four.
You know what? Rune Aranda's kind of had I wouldn't say inconsistent, but they've had their off nights.
Yeah.
And I think Gatineau has what it takes to take advantage of them on an off night. So I'll take Rune Aranda in five.
Give him one win at home.
Yeah. The Bob. Well, it's not really the Bob anymore, but the Slush Puppy Center.
Yeah. Silly.
They don't have the Fantôme is this the Fantôme. It's like the you weren't around for it, but it was the ghost of the Gertin, which is
you explained it to me.
It was always a playoff thing where
weird things happen there.
Weird things happen. Yeah, in the playoffs you explained to the visiting teams, and somebody actually dressed up as a ghost and sat behind the opposing goalie's net, and like this other. It's funny, but the ghost of the Gertin isn't around anymore, so. But like I said, I'll take Rune Aranda in five.
Yeah, I remember you explaining that to me because I think it was one of the games and somebody dressed up as a ghost in one of the regular season games. I was like, what? And then you had to explain that to me.
Yeah.
So ghost. I was like, what ghost, Olympique? What are we doing here? How do we tie this up? Victoriaville and Shawinigan. They were battling with Gatineau the whole time. They got a win on the final day of the season to get Victoriaville. I went first on the first two, so you can take these next two first.
Yeah, so for me, I think this is another one where I think Shawinigan can probably catch Victo on an off night, but I'll still take the Teague. I'll take Victoriaville in five.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was leaning. I think this is one of those ones where it's going to look closer than a five-game series. Mm-hmm. I think Schwenningen's going to be in this for a few of the games, maybe push a couple to overtime. But I think Victoriaville is in five, and I think Schwenningen will get one at home. But I think a couple of these go to overtime, and it's a little bit closer than what people think. And then we've got the 4-5 series with the Armada and the Phoenix, who I believe are separated by not very many points.
Yeah, this one's probably going to be
2 points separating.
Yeah, this is probably going to be your long series.
Yeah,
you're probably looking at a 6 or 7 game series here. It's a toss up, but I'll take Sherbrooke, just because I know they got off to a really good start this year and kind of started to tumble down. But I like the Saint Hilaire matchup, even though he didn't play much in the playoffs last year. I should probably give playoff experience a net to Sciarlo. But that Sherbrooke top line, I think, is going to take over the series.
So you have Sherbrooke in 6?
I have Sherbrooke in, 6.
Okay. It's going to go 7. These teams, the Armada won the season series 3-2. I don't know how close the games were, but while I like St. Hilaire, we've seen Sciarlo be able to steal a series, yeah. And I think he's got some, I guess not revenge on his mind, but he was cast aside by Baycomo because we beat them in 7. Depends who you ask.
Yeah.
But either way, I think he's amped to kind of answer those critics, get his team as far as they can because they made the deal for him. They wanted him. They could have picked another goaltender. And I think I'm going to go with the Armada in 7, which was kind of my upset earlier on when we had these questions. So
there's our first disagreement.
There's our first disagreement, and it's the 4-5 matchup.
Yeah. Not sure if we'll have the same disagreement in the Eastern Conference.
No. We get to the Jakar and the Islanders.
Halton Hockey here.
Halton Hockey. We talked about a matchup that Baycomo, if there's a team they didn't really want, it's the Islanders. I don't think the Islanders win this series.
No.
But I think this will help the Jakar long term because they'll finally get over that first round hump. They haven't gotten over that since 2004 or something like that. But I think it goes 6. I think the Islanders can get 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can. Holton can manage lines really well to try and take a shutdown line away. Not that the Jakar are a one-line team, but if you kind of have success taking that number one line away, you might get, you might get lucky in winning a game in overtime or whatever, but it'll depend on goaltending. And Carter Bickle's shown he can play well. So Halton Hockey, I'll take the Jakar in 6.
So I'm also on the side of the Jakar, obviously.
Yep.
I don't see Charlottetown winning 2 games. I think I'll see them winning 1. They'll win 1 on home ice. So I'll take the Jakar in 5.
Perfect. So now we get to Maritime matchup.
Woo!
The Moosehead and the Bathurst Teton. Man.
You taking this one or you want me to start?
Nah, you can start on this one.
Yeah, so this is obviously the one where people are they're expecting an upset. They think Bathurst could go out and punch the Mooseheads in the teeth here and get them out in round 1, and I don't blame them. I realistically think this could happen.
Especially the way we've seen Bathurst in the past 2 games.
But I think a lot needs to happen for that to happen. When I say a lot needs to happen, I think I think Bathurst goes with, I don't know if they have a number one. I think, Keller and Fleming are both capable of playing. So it makes me wonder if they're going to go the Moncton Flyers, switch back and forth every game to kind of give Halifax a different look, it's not the same goalie, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's but again, I think another thing that's gonna have to happen is Bathurst top line will have to dominate this series. They will have to have their best hockey, and I think they have 2 lines. I think Bobby Orr in the second line can really or if he's on the first line,
mm-hmm.
this top line in Bathurst, if Halifax can contain them, It's over. It's over in 4 or 5 games. But if they get loose and they start dominating the play down low and cycling the puck around, Halifax is in trouble, especially we've had success against Halifax when we're cycling the puck down low.
Yeah.
Right. But as soon as they get control and the Cataford line and Vidicek line are in the offensive zone, they're a threat every time they're on the ice. So I think if Bathurst can limit the amount of time that that Cataford and Vidicek are in the offensive zone, I think they have a good chance at winning this series. My head says Bathurst in seven.
Mm-hmm.
My heart says Halifax in six.
And your mouth will say?
And my mouth will say, as much as I want to see Bathurst win this series, I will take Halifax in six games.
Yeah, my head says one thing, my heart says the other. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with if they can contain the Rollins, Lallier, and St. Ange line, or Huggins line. I mean, they're winning without Robert Orr mm-hmm. right now, so he'll be a factor. Halifax won't have Dumais in game one.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of... And you can't
Action, look, will that be?
Yeah, and you can't look at the games against St. John because they didn't have a lot of their guys out. I think Furlong missing potentially the series is tough for them. I don't know how long he's actually out, but I've heard things where he could miss the first round. I think that's tough for them in trying to contain that number one line. But you look at special teams and in tight series where you're not sure where it goes, Halifax is ranked 7th on the power play. Bathurst is ranked 17th. Mm. Penalty kill-wise, Halifax is ranked 5th. And Bathurst is ranked 14th. So
yeah.
If you can stay disciplined against Halifax, this has a shot. So I will go Bathurst in seven because that is – I picked this as what was going to be my upset.
Yeah.
I feel it the whole time. There's just something different about Halifax. And I don't know if it's because we had success against them that they just don't look the same. The season series there, Halifax won that season series 5-3. Bathurst has the model to put some wins up against Halifax. So you took Halifax in six?
Yes, I did.
So confirmed. That's where I'm going to go Bathurst in seven there. From what I six. See, that's kind of my upset.
Yeah.
The other 4-5 matchup, Rimouski versus Cape Breton.
Well,
there is a – you had the stat of 24-1. Between Canada and Cape Breton, and they have been the hottest team. They've won the last 9 games. Mm-hmm. They were a matchup we didn't want, and I think this plays right into Cape Breton hands. I think it's Cape Breton in 5.
Yeah, you're right. Especially I think Rimouski Cantel Miller is supposed to be out for the entire series,
yeah.
And I think Cape Breton is just absolutely rolling right now. They should be able to handle Rimouski with ease, but at the same time, I think Oceanic will win a game. No, I can easily see Cape Breton wrapping this up in Rimouski in game 5.
All right, so we both got it in 5. Not bad. We only agreed on 2. Mm-hmm. Well, exact same games in actually 3. Sorry. All right, and then we get to ours.
Yeah,
and then we get to ours. So. These two teams have only faced off twice in since Moncton's come into the league. 1998 in round one, the Wildcats won 4-2 in what was the weirdest playoffs that you get into. I'll find that while I look on it. And in 2015, the Wildcats won in round one, 4-1. So both times they met in round one, the Wildcats, a 5-game series and a 6-game series. But, honestly, this... So, while I'm getting to it, it was a quarterfinal. Everybody played, like, in the quarters. And then in the second round, it was a 6-team round robin divided in 3. So, back in 1998. So, a little weird, but...
Don't remember that.
Nope. Let's get into, like, when I looked at this, these three teams that we were playing, oof. The good, better, best matchup, the good one... was Cape Breton, mm-hmm. or was Tsugumi. Sorry, no, the worst matchup was Cape Breton. The okay matchup was Tsugumi. The best matchup was Rimouski. Well, we got the okay matchup. Mm-hmm. They split the season series. We won 8-2 here. They won 6-3 in one of probably our worst games in terms of turnovers. It just nothing could go right on that big ice. It is a 2-3-2 series. And I've gone back and forth on this one since it was announced. And I just, if it's special teams and it's, uh-huh. it's, you know, we talked about in the Bathurst, they had that 5-on-3 for 2 minutes and a five minute power play as well. And they got one goal. Yes, they lead the league in overall power play, which they've never done. They've never had a 28% clip on the power play. But it's about the timely goals when you get that power play.
Yeah.
And changing the momentum. Chikudimi is third. They're at 26, so you can't take penalties against them. In terms of penalty killing, you've got Moncton at 8 and Chikudimi at 7. So... Mm-hmm. There's opportunities to score on the power play, but you've seen teams kind of figure out, and unless Moncton changes the whole power play in this week of practice so that no one's just standing on the edge, it doesn't matter who. Loshing, Poutan, AFG, it doesn't matter. They try to get that one guy on the dot instead of moving around and getting puck movement to get a timely goal when you need it. I think this where this helps Moncton in this series is Chikudimi's kind of physical, but they're not as physical as what Cape Breton would have been, not as physical probably as what Rimouski would have been. So I think in a quote-unquote track meet, and I don't mean 8-7 and 6-5 games, I think Moncton can hang, can play on the big ice. What else he got? Because I still don't know who I'm picking.
So you mentioned that Cape Breton was hot coming in, nine straight wins. Believe it or not, in the final 20 games of the regular season, Chikudimi was the best team in the entire league.
Yeah.
16 wins and 4 losses.
Yeah, and we were not. I think we were 10-10.
We were 10-10. So we're, you know, that's a clear demonstration of just how hot Chikudimi was in the final month and a half of the season to move up to where they got.
Yeah.
So I think we're in tough in this series. When we started doing the show, Adam, I think you and I, you know, that 1 year against Rimouski, we were the only ones to pick the Wildcats to win that series.
Yeah.
You know, there was no, I went through everywhere as I could find.
Yeah.
And we were the only ones to take Moncton to win that series. We've been pretty good with our Moncton predictions.
Same with Baie-Comeau too.
Yeah. Yeah. We picked Baie-Comeau twice, right? When Jacob Stewart, when it was the game 7 at St. Louis.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people had the Wildcats winning that series.
Nope.
We took them. Right? This is, you know what? I don't have a good feeling about this series.
No.
I really don't. And I think for the first time ever, in a first round, I'm going to take the opposing team. I really do not like this matchup for, you know, reasons I... trust this team. I trust the players. I pick them to go all the way to the finals for frig's sakes.
Yeah.
But there's an issue that's behind the bench that I think is going to catch up to this group in this series. And I have no issue saying it right now, but I think Chikudimi will win this series at the Avenir Center in game 6.
Oh, boy. you go through the lineup, and Moncton's forward, I would give them the advantage. You got to remember, Chikudimi's young as well. They're younger than we are somehow. We're still a young team. We're getting, you know, the last week we were probably even younger with some of the call-ups we had.
Yep.
Telefontaine is capable of steering the whole series. Like,
yep.
We just keep running into hot goaltenders, whether it was Charlo last year, Delafontaine this year, Gravel 2 years ago, or in 2019, because I don't count the other playoffs. But the first two games will be key, because this coaching staff, and when I say this coaching staff, I mean the guy calling the shots, doesn't get the team on track, doesn't get them ready to go in big games. I think another factor, too, as of this recording on Monday, there's been no Wildcats official series schedule. There's been no talk of tickets. There's been no talk of anything. The Ticketmaster thing right now looks abysmal. And it's unfair to these kids. I mean, you put 4,000 people in that building, it might be loud enough to get them. You know, I said on the live, every time they scored, they were jacked. They like, cause the building was loud, and that's what you need in the playoffs. And that's what Shakutimi's going to have on the big ice.
Yep. Guaranteed every game in Rimouski is going to be full. I would be surprised if Shakutimi has more fans in games three, four, and five.
Yeah.
Then we will have a game one and two. Like there's they have a 4,300 seat arena, and I can almost assure you that it's gonna be full. It's gonna be jam packed.
Especially if they get a split.
Yep.
And that's if Moncton can get both games at home, then I have full confidence they win the series. If they split, Shakutimi's winning this thing.
Yep, absolutely.
But with that being said, we didn't believe in Dan last year against Baie-Comeau. And we still took him, and we don't believe in Dan's coaching this year, but he somehow continues to make things happen in the playoffs. We're 5-1 in game sevens at home. We're 4-1. I'm going to take the Wildcats to outlast Shakutimi in seven. It took a lot to get there, and I was on the Sags bandwagon pretty much until those words came out of my mouth. But it's basically been a carbon copy of last year, and we didn't trust the coaching staff last year, and by staff, I mean him. But he got us a seven-game series victory over Baie-Comeau, in which was back and forth the whole thing. I don't think this thing's going as many overtime games. I think we, fans of the Q, got robbed in not seeing Shakutimi versus Cape Breton, because I think that would have maybe rivaled our series last year in this first round. So, call me a homer if you will. Call me whatever you want. I had to disagree with Jeremy, whatever you want to say. I truly did not know until those words came out of my mouth. So, yeah, I've got the Wildcats in seven. So, if I, yeah, if my scores hold, Moncton will take on Cape Breton in round two, and the Dakar will take on, or sorry, yeah, the Dakar will take on Bathurst, and Moncton will get Cape Breton in round two. If yours holds, Baie-Comeau will take on Shakutimi, who they've had success with, and in all Nova Scotia battles, the Mooseheads will take on the Eagles.
Nice.
So either way, we're going to have some decent second rounds, where usually the first round's awesome, and the second round you can kind of, it's nothing.
Yeah. I'll be using my media pass to get into some of those games in Halifax if it's Cape Breton against Halifax. Yeah,
that'll be some good. So here's hoping I'm really right and Jeremy's wrong, and here's hoping Jeremy's not right and I'm wrong. But again, it comes down to the first two games at home. If they're not ready to go, and you can't get up 3-0 and let a team punch back, that'll be.
I win that 50-50 at Needs on Wednesday, you know, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go buy $1,000 worth of tickets and just hand them out.
If I win that, I will do the same thing.
Like even that, like $1,000, would probably get you.
Yeah,
and what, this 500, not even. No, my math is that was terrible. 50 tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get you 50 tickets.
Yeah.
No, I...
Because you'd be at 24,000, because they're 24 bucks a ticket.
Yeah.
So 100. And what's the needs? 50-50 at probably 48, so half your money would go to the tickets.
Yeah. Oof.
But again, that's just not on us. That's not like I get
just
irrationally...
Just buy one section.
I get irrationally upset about it.
Yeah.
And it's not our job to fill that building, but I don't understand how you're going to go from 7,100 to 1,200 in a playoff game round one. Just, it doesn't make sense to me, so...
Buy 100 tickets and sell them to the drunkest kids at NBCC.
And get them to be the loudest kids.
Have them sit behind the sections where the Wildcats shoot twice.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the playoff preview. A lot of the first round in the Western Conference seems pretty easy. But I think both conferences have the ability to have excellent playoff for the Q in terms of showcasing. I mean, we've only got two sweeps.
Mm-hmm.
We both took the Volts. I took the Huskies. So, yeah, like we only have a couple sweeps. So, we should have some good hockey as opposed to last year.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm excited. It's the best time of the year. I hope my prediction about the Wildcats is wrong. I have a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that, you know, my first round predictions of Wildcats success comes to an end this year.
Yeah. That also means our show comes to an end for a bit.
It does, but that's okay.
But hey, we get into the draft coverage, and everybody loves our draft
coverage. We can still come back every couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We got some draft shows. We got some draft stuff to talk about. All right, you ready for everyone's favorite part of the show?
Well, I think it's your favorite part of
the show. It is my favorite part of the show. All right.
Eric Murray, realtor, buy a house from him, stick dab of the week.
All right, so for the last regular season show slash the first playoff show, we're mixing things up here because it. The stick tab easily goes to someone who more than deserves it. I'm going to try and keep it together a little bit more than I did on Saturday night underneath. Hey, they finally got the schedule on the website.
Too bad they can't tweet it.
Yeah. yeah, this goes to the communications person for the Moncton Wildcats, Michelle Beliveau. She is no longer with the team. She is moving on to the PWHL. And... you know, we had one of our sponsors step up and give us a nice little gift basket, bottle of wine. We gave her a gift card for a night out on us because what she's done for our group, for our podcast this year. I mean, you guys have been with us for 7 years now, seeing the what we've done from an arm's length, how many times we were ignored on an email when we wanted to get a player on or when we tried to have a player on, we had to have them on and then send it in and wait for confirmation. It was a hassle. Honestly, it was tough to want to do this week after week after week and year after year without anything from the team. And it's not the players. It's not general manager Richie Tebow. Rick Melanson, the assistant general manager, is good to us in the rink. Everyone else around is good to the rink. It was just the communications person. I think that came from above. So it was a real change this year when we went to the draft and applied for the Q Media Pass and not only got it, but got to sit there and do the show YouTube, which was terrible coverage, but 2,500 of you joined in to watch us. And we actually got interviews. I said to Layla, go ask Michelle if we can have Denway. We got Denway. She came to us and said, would you like Bhutan before he leaves? Absolutely. He's a newly acquired player. And then I thought, well, great. This is kind of where it ends. It's too bad. Maybe we'll get some preseason stuff. And then just before camp started, Richie and Michelle brought us in and explained that they were going to give us some access to the team, which is what we needed. We needed, you know, for podcasts and media, you need other teams as well as your own. Mm-hmm. And I always had other teams. We've had great connections through the division into some teams in Quebec. We just never had our own. And it made it tough for us to do this show, even though, you know, we still did it week after week, and we were honest about it. Sometimes we worried how honest we were. But, yeah, they've given us access and just have been exceptional from the word go. With anything we need, any player we ask for after a game, it's done. And even into tonight, into the awards. So what she's meant for our podcast, we will never be able to repay her. And we will never be able to thank her well enough. And so... sucks that we're losing her to the PWHL, but she's going to do great things in that league that's already doing great things. So we're excited for her. So the stick tap of the week goes to Michelle Beliveau of the Moncton Wildcats.
The stick tap of the week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the RE/MAX Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
And that, folks, leads us into the Wildcast Wildcat of the Week, presented by Rosemary Lynn's Massage and Spa. Now get this, from now until April 21st.
Yeah.
When you book a new set of acrylic nails, you'll receive your first fill for $25.
That's a heck of a deal.
That's one $20 bill and a $5 bill.
For those counting at home.
Yeah. Now as well... don't forget, they have a loyalty card, which I've yet to use. So when you buy 9 spa services, you get one for free. Is this where I do the play, or do I read the next part, too?
You read the next part.
I'm not used to doing this. I appreciate your following, folks. If you want to take advantage of this and have a chance to win a $100 gift card, call to book your appointment at 506-830-1224. Coincidentally enough, located at 1224 Mountain Road.
That was my favorite part, too. Yeah. Well done. Well done on the read. Thank you.
Which, of course, leads us into what I just said, the Wildcast Wildcat of the Week. Now, if you look over how the past three games went, there were some obvious selections. Now, everybody knows I'm a little different. I like to do things my own way around
what?
Here. With that being said, I would like to award the Wildcast Wildcat of the Week to a player who saw an opportunity and took it.
Yep.
That's why I'm awarding this week to call up from the Cape Breton West Islanders,
nice.
Number 6, Jack Hayne.
Well
that is
done.
Your Wildcast Wildcat of the Week, presented by Rosemary Lynn's Massage and Spa.
Excellent read, excellent pick, excellent everything about that. I think from now on we may switch more often because you nailed that, bro.
Thank you so much.
But yeah,
practicing in the shower.
That's the best place to practice. But yeah, that does it for this week. Here we go. The playoffs are upon us. They go this Friday. Game one, it is Holiday Friday, so...
Not a Holiday Friday. It's a good Friday.
It's a good Friday. So get your tickets now. It's plenty available.
You mean to tell me those blue on the Ticketmaster site isn't sold? Since?
Oh, if the blue on the Ticketmaster site was the sold ones, man, what an atmosphere that would be. Yeah. So game one is Friday. Game two is Saturday. So get your tickets. Also, stay tuned to the Instagram. Oh yeah, Maine's going to the
big game against Big Red.
It's not much madness there, is it?
Well, it's kind of.
Yeah, it's not the Frozen. It's not the Frozen Four.
No,
it's
just their
March Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay tuned to our Instagram. We are bringing back the pregame show. Jeremy and I will be up in the Alpha Suite, getting you ready for each of the games. We're probably going to be a lot more positive in Game One, and hopefully we stay positive in Game Two. Yeah, we go from there. So that's kind of our playoff preview show. We got the playoff. What's that?
For round one.
We got the pregame show on our Instagram as well. We're going to try and put a watch party together, whether it's on YouTube or whether it's somewhere live to get for game three. But we'll see how things go. But that's it for Jeremy. I'm Adam. Enjoy the playoffs. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.